Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Go High West Yorkshire UniConnect podcast. Myself and Leanna here again on behalf of the 13 higher education partner institutions across West Yorkshire to discuss another topic around progressing into higher education. Hello, Leanna.
Hi, everyone.
How are you today, Leanna?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So as we mentioned last month, I'm from Kirklees College, and I'm also Jake. Leanne, you're from?
Leeds Arts University, and I'm also Leanne.
I think that's the third time we've covered that already today. Yes. That's great. So this episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about apprenticeships. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of a different way of learning, I guess we could say, to some of the other routes that we've discussed before. And quite an important part of it is that you earn whilst you learn. Yeah. So we're really lucky today that we are guests at Zenith, which is an intelligent vehicle solutions company, who have taken on 29 new apprentices last year. So they're kind of experts in what we're doing in the apprenticeship world. So we're really lucky to have Nick with us. Hello, Nick.
Hello there. Hi.
And thank you so much for coming on the podcast with us.
No, absolutely. It's a pleasure.
Really looking forward to sort of discussing apprenticeships with you and getting to know you a bit. But I guess, can we start off sort of with who you are, maybe a little bit about your background and just what you do for your role?
Absolutely. So my name is Nick, and my last name is Galicia. It's pronounced Galicia, as most people get it wrong, but anyway.
I think I probably did when we got here today.
But it's Nick Galicia. It's my full name. So I'm the talent programs lead at Zenith. So what I do is I deal with apprenticeship. So I manage the apprenticeship program. I manage the relationships within our company and schools in the area. So we do a lot of activities and stuff like that, like CV writing, presentation and stuff like that.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. I said at the beginning that I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I read this online, it was 29 new apprentices.
That's right, yes.
Is that right? Are those apprenticeships all in the same area, or are they across different types of roles?
So it's all different roles. This year, August 2022 cohort is the biggest yet we've ever taken.
Yeah.
We've never recruited 29 people before. You know, we've acquired recently a company called Cartwright. Mm-hmm. And Cartwright was an independent leasing company as well, like we are. And they had workshops across the country. And so when we've acquired those workshops, we've also introduced apprentices in those workshops. So they're not just obviously within Leeds, but we've got a workshop in Garforth, we've got one in Glasgow, we've got one in Scarmstale, we've got one somewhere in Birmingham.
I take it very personally.
So it is across the board. So those apprentices are technicians working HGVs and lorries, and trucks and trailers and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I guess sort of my point there was, that's kind of a really good example of how many different types of apprenticeships there are. Like that's within one company. And there's a huge amount there, let alone across all the other types of industries that there are. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's sort of just a really good stepping on point to talk about how an apprenticeship is kind of similar to when you're studying. Mm-hmm. Sort of, Leanne, you probably agree with this, but there's so many different types of courses that you could apply for, and you could do your research into the types of courses.
Yeah.
But there's also a huge amount of different types of apprenticeships.
Yeah.
And I guess the research that goes into that is just as important as what you might think for when you're going to sort of a university or college or something like that. Nick, so with the apprenticeships, obviously that's a specific type of progression pathway. Mm-hmm. What stands out to you around that? What sort of is the standout moments, the most important things from it, and what do students gain from that the most, I guess?
Yeah, so apprenticeship is, as we know, is, you earn while you learn. Mm-hmm. And,
that rhymed.
Yeah, I mean, it rhymes, doesn't it? So, and it's the skills, really, that people get out of it, you know, that thing, that's kind of what's really great about taking an apprenticeship and that, taking that pathway. Mm-hmm. What's good about what we offer here at Zenith is that, after the 12-month program, which is obviously, how long, the length of our program, is once they pass their qualification, we keep those people and they get that full-time job, that guaranteed full-time job. Mm. Obviously, if they don't pass the qualification, we don't just give up and dismiss them. We keep them and obviously we help them and support them until they pass their qualification.
Because you're learning it in that environment with that company. Chances are the company is going to be quite eager to keep you on anyway. Mm-hmm. And again, that's not 100% the case all the time.
Yeah.
But they'll be quite eager to keep you on because you know exactly how to do it the way they want to do it. Yeah. That's what makes sense. Like, that's across the board, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, especially with young people. And we recognise that apprenticeship, there's a lot of, you know, myths about apprenticeships. Mm-hmm. And I know that one of them is just mainly for young people. I mean, it's not true. It's across the board. However, obviously, for the apprenticeship programme, we obviously reach out to schools. Mm-hmm. This is what we partner up with schools and help educate the students that apprenticeship is just an alternative route of going to university. Yeah. And, you know, we realize and we understand that there isn't that skills, there isn't that experiences, and that's why we give those skills and experience to them, and we support them along the way. You know, going back to your question, you know, they work in a professional environment, they get a lot of help, and the trainings that we've put in place, you know, is I'm going to be completely biased. It's going to be like really, really good. We run what we call Pizza Fridays. Now, Pizza Fridays is basically taking place on a Friday. We have a pizza on a Friday, and it happens every single month for the duration of 12 months.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. we could have recorded on a Friday.
I'm jealous. We should do that. Go higher.
Yeah, so it is one of the trainings that we provide under the apprenticeship program. And Pizza Fridays can be on-site. It can be off-site. And obviously, most of our apprentices are doing business administration, so we focus on those.
Yeah.
When we do on-site activities, we do stuff like presentation, for example, because when they get to the endpoint assessment, they will be presenting, and we want to give that support. We want to give that skills and experience, and make sure that they have the, you know, they are fully equipped with tools in order for them to pass their qualification at the end.
Yeah, I think it's really important that actually, because some people probably think that when you go into an apprenticeship, you're just learning the skills of that specific job that you're sort of like that you're focused on.
Yeah.
And I guess one of the biggest arguments about pro university is, oh, you develop all the soft skills, you develop all the presenting, the talking, the communication, the teamwork, all those things. But actually, you can do that in apprenticeship as well. Like from exactly what you're saying, Nick, encouraging them to sort of develop those skills, and you get that whilst in that environment.
Yeah. So you're really becoming a well-rounded individual by the end of it.
Yeah, definitely. Just before we move on, just something, obviously, our little rhyme. I think I said it, and I think you've said it as well, Nick. How much do they earn?
How much?
Let's talk money.
Ooh.
Let's be honest. Everyone's listening to be like, if I'm going to do an apprenticeship, I want to earn some money.
Yeah.
How much can an apprentice earn? Is there a minimum? Is there a maximum? Mm-hmm. What's the sort of surrounding of that?
So apprentices get paid minimum wage. Obviously, if you look at the Gov website, it will have an apprentice rates, but it also varies depending on their age. It also varies whether they are doing the first year apprenticeship or second year apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. But at Zenith, we offer for our business administration apprenticeship, our apprentices, we offer about £14,414.
Yeah.
But obviously, with Zenith, with our apprenticeship program, it's not just about the money that we offer. You know, there's other benefits that we offer as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I think that's one of the key things. Sort of, I wanted to touch on it and sort of, yes, okay, you will earn money, but yeah, there's the skills that we've already spoken about and we're going to keep talking about that you get from it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the perks of that is that you earn whilst doing it.
So how do young people apply to the apprenticeship program here at Zenith?
Yeah, so our intake is basically every single year. Obviously, they start in August. So for this year, it looks like August 2023. And we normally open the recruitment in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And how it works is we have, obviously, vacancy on our website. So if they go on jobs.zenith.co.uk, and they'll be able to see all the jobs that we have in there for apprenticeships, you know, amongst other things.
Will they be able to find that link in other places as well?
We do advertise it onto the Gov website as well, so they can find that information in there as well.
Cool. There's loads of resources available online in general around apprenticeships. Like the answer said there, Gov websites, UCAS and things like that.
Yeah.
There's loads of information out there around apprenticeships.
Mm-hmm.
Go High West Yorkshire, we'll also have some information available. how to put these plugs in, it's very important.
What kind of qualities do you look for in a person applying for the job?
Yeah. So the backbone of apprenticeship is KSB, so knowledge, skills and behaviour. And like I said, going back to my first point previously, you know, we recognise that most of our apprentices are fresh out of school, don't have the skills, don't have the experience, and we get it. And we give those skills and experience. That's why they have what we call mentors, you know, within the building or within the apprenticeship programme. So going back to your question, what we're looking for, our mantra at Zenith is, you know, or especially for the apprenticeship program, is we train for skills and we recruit for behaviour. So we recruit for behaviour and train for skills. So it's really important that you have a positive mindset into learning, that you want to develop yourself, and that you want to learn. You know, you want to help yourself because the help is there for you. So I guess to answer your question, you know, it's a positive attitude, you know, keen learner, you know, enthusiasm, that's what we're looking for. We're not looking for qualifications in particular. You know, we're not looking for experience. I mean, those are bonuses. But like I say, it all comes down to the behavior, really.
Yeah. That's so great because I think so many people are put off by the fact that they don't have experience. And it's amazing that you made that distinction because being so young, you're not expected to have that experience. And you provide that in-house as part of the job.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've always said this before, you know, the apprenticeship program that we've put together, it's not, we don't just expect our apprentices to, here's a job, here's a coursework, you know, off you go and do it, and then come back to me once you've finished it. You know, we don't just focus on giving those technical side, but we also focus on how we can shape them better to be the best version of themselves, you know, to make the better people. I mean, I'm sure they are already good people, but to make them even better. You know, we teach them our values and and, you know, and things you shouldn't do in the office, for example, things you shouldn't do in a workplace. Because and we understand that, you know, it comes with, you know, lack of experience. It's also lack of knowledge of how do I act in an office? How do I act in a work environment?
Because it's like a completely different culture that you're indoctrinating yourself into.
Absolutely. And it's for most, you know, for most people, it's a culture shock almost, you know. And that's why the support that we are providing on the apprenticeship program is just great. And, you know, we have apprenticeship mentors. And like I said earlier on, we have apprenticeship mentors supporting the program, supporting the apprentices. You know, they have skills coach from Babington, the qualification provider. And we have a lot of regular meetings, you know, how we can help you, you know, touching on their personal well-being as well.
So how do you think people can prepare for the application process? Is there specific things they should be doing?
We don't ask for them to do a whole lot of, you know, preparation. It's like I said, it's going back to the behavior side, you know, just come back, you know, come with us with a positive attitude. I want to learn. I want to do this. Obviously, you know, standard interview, you know, you look, you research the company, you research our company, you research the apprenticeship program, what we do, how we do it, you know, how many awards we've won. And so that kind of preparation really, and anything really, I guess, that they could, you know, that they think that they could do to make them stand out, if they can impress us with, you know, amazing skills. I mean, we're not asking for them to do cartwheels or anything like that.
If you can, will that help? that
I mean, that's flexibility. but, you know, it's, you know, it's more of the doing research about what we do as a company, our apprenticeship program, if they can do interview practice with their family and friends.
That's a good idea.
Do you know what I mean? So, and, you know, if they can, and, you know, I'm sure their schools will be doing, you know, mock interviews at some point, then take advantage of that opportunity and, you know, get those interview skills, you know, sharpened.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that kind of goes across the board, doesn't it, Leanne? Sort of if you apply for any apprenticeship, those skills, although Zenith has sort of their own application process and this specific things, but those skills and, like you're saying, that preparation that you could do, like, across the board, no matter what apprenticeship you're applying for.
Even jobs or higher education, everything you'll do in life, you will have to interview.
Yeah, definitely. And I think being as prepared as you can for that. Because a lot of it is just come down to sitting in a room and talking to someone and selling yourself, isn't it? I think so many people sometimes don't realise that there's actually so much more they have to offer. And they get so focused on, oh my God, I'm meeting this important person. This is really going to be impactful. But and it sort of takes away from, it's just a conversation most of the time, and they're equally as, they're not there to criticize you, they're there to find out about you and to find out the information around that. So I think like getting comfortable with the interview process, and like you say, mock interviews are an amazing opportunity.
So useful
just to get used to sitting there and talking to a stranger. I think, I mean, we talk to quite a few strangers doing this.
We're experts at
yeah, really good. But yeah, just being able to sit and talk to someone and and talk to a few random people in mock interviews, and all of a sudden when you go into an actual interview for an apprenticeship, for a degree, for anything, it just feels a lot easier, doesn't it? Just to sort of go back a little bit, if as an apprentice, what's a Monday to Friday look like? Obviously with Zenith it'll be quite specific to the role they're in. So I guess sort of in Zenith, maybe like more general, Could you go into that a little bit? Sort of, I guess, how is it just sort of like a normal job? How does the coursework needs come into it? Mm-hmm. How does that work?
Yeah. So apprentices, you know, we like to think of apprentices as colleagues, not students, although they do coursework and they do, you know, they learn from the job almost, yeah. But they're not students. We are their colleagues. Mm-hmm. And therefore the treatment is exactly the same as everyone else in the business. So they come to the office, they start their computer, you know, whatever yeah. they do in that particular role, and they do their job as normal. You know, yeah. they take their breaks, take their lunches, and they finish on time. Obviously, there's a bit of a twist because they are apprentices. As you know, that we have to do the on-the-job training and off-the-job training. So, as obviously advised by the ESFA, it's got to be the 6 hours at minimum of off-the-job training hours per week. So, for apprentices, it might be that one day they'll be doing coursework during the week, or they might be attending Pizza Fridays, or they might be doing a one-to-one session with their mentor.
Yeah,
there's so many things that they could do during the week. Mm-hmm. That could be part of the off-the-job training activities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, in a minute we will have Danish, who's an apprentice, and he can probably talk about it in more detail, but that's what it looks like. So yeah. they're just like our colleagues, you know, full-time, part-time colleagues within the business. Mm-hmm. They come to do the work, and then they get a bit of time to do the coursework during the week.
Yeah. I guess, like, time to do your coursework is, like, a really useful time to reflect on what you're working on and how actually it's going as well. Because you do still get that time to be like, okay, cool, I am learning. This is what I'm comfortable with. This is how I'm enjoying it. This is, and I guess that's a time for areas that maybe you're struggling with as well. I guess it's not as easy as just sort of walking into the door and just learning everything. And that's the same with any job, not just an apprenticeship or anything that. But it's a really sort of safe and comfortable space as well for you to reflect on that and to sort of probably ask, as you say, you have a mentor and to go through any struggles with them.
Absolutely. And I have an open door policy to all of my apprentices. And as much as my calendar is always fully booked every single week, I always dedicate the time to make sure that, you know, they can come to me at any point. They can ask me anything. They can, you know, ask for support.
I guess that's across every industry that you'll get that. It's not just if you're doing business admin or if you're doing something like a plumber or something like that. There's bricklaying, there's creative arts. There's so many different types of industries that you can do an apprenticeship in. And in each of those, it will be a very similar setup where you will have someone who is there for your support. Yeah. And you'll still have that time to sort of reflect and to learn. And it's not just going into a job and, right, that's it, go. You will have, yeah, you'll have the support around you and people that are there eager and wanting to teach you. That is the purpose of them being there, is to do their job, but also to train you up and make sure you're doing well, I guess. And I think it's kind of a good point for me now to sort of say, like, make sure you do some good research when you go into doing your apprenticeship, I guess, and you make sure you know what you're applying for, and be aware, because as we said at the start, there are so many, and there's more and more apprentices, apprenticeships that are sort of coming up now. So do your research, assign those skills that you see you have, or maybe you don't think you have, but you can then find out you have through marketing.
You can have people help you with that. So speak to a parent, to a friend,
a teacher,
anyone. And you can start by thinking about it in terms of the things that you do and then see what skills are translated through that.
I think you'll probably get some people listening to this who are listening with the idea of, yeah, I 100% want to do an apprenticeship, so I really want to hear what it's like. And then you have other people that are listening who don't know if they want to do an apprenticeship, they don't know if they want to do apply for a course. I think it is important to say that there are loads of really good benefits, like you've been saying, to an apprenticeship. And some people, that's not exactly what they want to do. They might not exactly want to go straight into work, and they might want to go study and sort of further their knowledge in a different environment. And like that's okay. You might be listening to this like and thinking, oh yeah, I'm 100% want to do an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
But also have a look at courses that are available. And I think sometimes people, they go to university because they think they should just go to university.
Yeah.
But maybe I think take a look at a type of learning that suits you as well. Yeah. There'll be some people that going out on the job or being in an office and doing it hands-on is how they best learn.
They just thrive.
They thrive on that. Mm. And there'll be other people that will go into a university setting and they love the academic side of it. They love the learning and sort of studying it and how they want to do it. So both options are equally rewarding, valuable, I guess, and valuable. Mm-hmm. And it just really depends on who you are and what a style suits you. Obviously, there's some careers where sometimes there's sort of slight preference to either way, but that'll be you'll find that out when you do your research, which I think we've banged on the last 2 weeks. Do your research. I think that's like a really important important element to it.
So I was just wondering, do you only have apprentices from a certain age level, or what age groups do you usually hire?
Yeah, so apprenticeship is for anybody, really, irrespective of age. But we would normally start looking for people, well, we would be normally recruiting people from the age of 16 and above. You know, most of our apprenticeship sort of in this year's cohort, obviously the region of 16 to 18, but we also have, you know, who's 36 years old. You know, we had somebody who's 27 years old. So it's for anybody, really. There's no specific type of age that anyone can be an apprentice. In terms of how we train our colleagues within the business, we use apprenticeship as well. So, you know, we have people from different departments taking up degree apprenticeships at level 7, and we fund those through the apprenticeship levy. And those people are obviously of the older age. You know, we have management, senior management taking up degree level, you know, apprenticeship. So it's for everybody and anybody, irrespective of if you have experience or not, or if you have the qualifications or not. You know, it's for everybody.
That's amazing.
Nick, thank you so much for coming on the podcast for this episode. I know me and Leanne, we know enough about apprenticeships, don't we? But we're not experts. So
no.
thank you so much for sharing your knowledge. I guess just to round things out, do you have 3 top tips? We did this last week. I'm not going to make this a recurring feature. Yeah, 3 top tips that that you would give to a potential apprentice.
Absolutely. So I think my first top tip would be to reach out for support. That's the first thing you need to do. Have a little think about, you know, taking an apprenticeship. I think it's good to consider it alongside, you know, many different routes of, you know, whatever you want to do after school. But you want to make sure it's right for you, you know. So reach out for support, speak to your careers advisors. I'm sure if any of the students are listening to this, I'm sure you have some sort of careers advisors in your school. You know, speak to them what apprenticeship standards you can explore, and then start looking at the government websites. The second tip would be, once you've found the right one for you, then research, you know, conduct research into that role that you want to do, as well as the company that you're going to be applying for. And, you know, practice. Again, you know, if you need to kind of do some rehearsals with interviews, then, you know, reach out to your family and friends. Reach out, again, to your careers advisors if they can do it for you. And lastly, when they attend the interview or assessment centre, you know, have the positive attitude, you know, impress the employer. Like I say, it's not all about, going back to what I said about the whole KSB, you know, we're not looking for any particular sort of experience, any particular skills. Those are bonuses. But have the right attitude that you want to learn, you know. You're enthusiastic into learning, you want to do some stuff, and you're happy to take feedback as constructive rather than as criticism. So
amazing.
That would be my top 3 tips.
3 top tips. Reach out for support, research the role and company, have a positive attitude, and impress the employer.
That's it.
Congratulations, you've now got an apprenticeship. Zenith will be happy to.
Absolutely.
No, yeah, honestly, been absolutely amazing guest. Thank you so much, Nick.
Thank you very much, guys.
Well, I think we're now going to be joined by one of your apprentices as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So we'll take a second, and then, yeah, we'll have another chat. So, yeah, thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello everyone, myself and Leanne are still here. We're still talking about apprenticeships.
Hi everyone.
And we're lucky enough to be joined by an actual apprentice now. So we've been joined by Danish.
My name is Danish. It's like Spanish with a D. It's easier. And yeah, I'm looking forward to talk to you all.
Oh yeah, thank you so much for giving up your time to have a chat with us. So you are an apprentice right now, aren't you? You're currently...
I am, yes. I've been an apprentice since August the 8th. And it's just flown by since then.
Yeah.
I think it has been about 5, nearly 6 months, but it really only feels like a few weeks.
Yeah. So what are you, what's your course?
My course, my qualification that I'm hoping to achieve by the end of the apprenticeship is a business administration, a level 3. And that's something that we're, all of our apprentices are currently on, all working towards that same qualification.
How are you finding it?
I'm finding it amazing.
Yeah.
It's just become like such a great learning experience for me. as I'm being exposed to such a wide array of different people from different backgrounds and different ages, like I'm sure Nick talked about earlier. The youngest being 16, oldest being about 27, 28. I myself being 18, I find myself to be in that little sweet spot of being old enough to be like mature enough to be able to adapt to this sort of working environment, but at the same time, young enough to actually like be capable of absorbing so much information and applying that in the future for when I do eventually move on to other career aspects. But I've enjoyed my time. I've tried literally every second of it, you know.
Yeah,
I love that.
It really has been great, genuinely, because I mean, I certainly feel like my life has turned around since before the apprenticeship, pretty much.
I'm happy for you that you feel that way. And,
So,
do you think it's the type of learning that you've done and the environment that you've come into that's sort of led to that?
I think the main thing that has led to me feeling like that is the fact that I've been actually putting everything into practice. There's not been so much studying as opposed to school or college or even university, where you're sitting down for lectures and hearing people talk. In Zenith, you're actually expected to do the work as if you were a regular employee. So the practical aspect is what has developed us the most, because I mean from my experience anyway, I've definitely learned from making a lot of mistakes. But the thing is, we as a here at Zenith, ourselves and even Nick and our employees, they don't just view them as mistakes, they view them as learning curves. So with each mistake that we're making, we're just making ourselves better because we're learning from each mistake.
Such a good attitude to have.
Yes.
Do you feel like, obviously, like you say, you've come in and it is sort of like a full-time job almost in the way you're sort of, the way you're treated and the way you sort of like take it on. Do you feel that comes with pressure? Do you find pressure from that? Or
I don't feel any pressure. I mean, it can be daunting at first, I will admit, because you are exposed to such a wide array of people and you're held accountable for a lot of things that you're doing because, like Nick mentioned, you are treated as an employee.
Yeah, a colleague. A colleague, yes.
Yeah. And,
and that just highlights the support that you get.
Yes.
And like how you feel, the fact that you feel supported and comfortable in that. I think that speaks like really good volumes. I think that's one of the key things about an apprenticeship is that you're going into that learning environment and you're going in a safe space with support around you.
That's it, yeah. We get grant so much support on the apprenticeship. We've got Nick, like I've mentioned, but also we get given mentors. We're all assigned a unique individual mentor, and they're always there for support, whether it's with coursework or any struggles relating to anything within the workplace or something outside that might be affecting you. They're always there for support, and I myself have a brilliant mentor who I always look up to every month.
I think that's so key, isn't it? Like, I know I just said about the support, but like the people you meet along the way as well, sort of like they're your colleagues, but you're in such like a, as you say, like here, especially like such a positive work environment.
Become future connections as well.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, it definitely builds up your LinkedIn for sure.
So with the apprenticeship, to take you sort of back to your start of your journey, how did you find the application process and getting into it?
Yeah, so initially when I was just looking for any sort of job, I was happy to accept anything that would keep me busy for, you know, some time, get a bit of money in my pocket. And when I first saw the apprenticeship on Indeed, that was the main app I was using to find them. I did look at it as it did show like a year contract. It was a bit of a commitment. But then after doing a little bit of research and just thinking that this seems like a much better opportunity, I just went for it. And then there was an agent from Babington. So Babington is the apprenticeship company that are like co-working with Zenith. So they're the ones who, like all the coursework that we do, it's submitted from them. And like our main coach for the coursework, she is like basically representing Babington. She's from that side. And it was basically just an agent from that company who gave me steps and tips to put my CV in. She even sent me some tailored questions via email that would help in the interview stage. And she was very helpful, I've got to admit, Still remember her name as well, Georgina. She was fantastic. She was great.
Was there anything you didn't expect from it? Was there anything that surprised you or anything about the process that you were like, oh, didn't anticipate that?
I guess just how welcoming the actual interview process was.
Yeah.
You know, straight away when I first sat in, the person who interviewed me, who's now my manager, the first thing you said, it's not a grueling interview stage, but obviously you've still got to treat it with a very professional mindset, you know? Although a lot of us are still under 18 or just out of school, this whole apprenticeship thing does teach us to maintain a professional mindset. And it's definitely led to a lot of us becoming a lot more mature at a fast rate as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about your long-term plans? Obviously, you've only really just started into your apprenticeship. I know you say it's gone so fast, but what's your thoughts?
My thoughts at the moment is to just continue working as hard as I can in the department. Long-term, hopefully, I do hope to at least get an offer for full-time employment at the end. And that's definitely been highly motivating for myself and my fellow apprentices, they will tell you. Because unlike like any other university degree or anything, you're not even paying for it. You're not putting money into it. You are putting time and commitment into it. Mm. But in the end, it will pay off when you get that full-time job and that qualification.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about your progression onto doing the apprenticeship. So what led you to do it? What were you doing beforehand?
Yeah. So before I joined the apprenticeship, I was at a college in Huddersfield and I was on, it was a public service course. At the time when I left school, it was actually when COVID literally just hit as I was doing my GCSEs. Mm. So that put everyone in my year in a little bit of a tight spot. We didn't actually complete our actual GCSE tests. Mm. It was a mixture of, I think, them basing it off our predicted grades and our mock tests as well. Mm. And so that actually didn't work out for me in terms of grades. But the thing with this apprenticeship was that no matter your grades, it's all based on how you present yourself at the interview.
Yeah.
So you can always make up for that, just with your work ethic and with what skills you can offer.
Yeah, it's about you rather than sort of the
rather than what's on a paper,
you can show that through your interview.
Yes,
as we said, it's really important to be aware, like with an apprenticeship, you do get that sort of second chance, but it's that opportunity to sell yourself a little bit and to learn as you go.
Yes.
With that.
Like in this apprenticeship, you're actually free to express yourself as well in your workplace. Obviously, you've got rules and procedures to follow, but like I'm not getting told how to speak a certain way on the phone or how to, obviously, like on an email. It needs to be grammar. It needs to have good grammar, but it's still my email. That's still myself. I'm not being told by someone else what to do.
Yeah.
I'm being trained by them, and I'm definitely being, all my mistakes are being rectified. Mm-hmm. But I'm still free to express myself on the apprenticeship as well.
And I suppose you pick that stuff up from like the environment that you're working in.
Oh, yeah.
That tone is set for you. So whatever apprenticeship you go into, you'll be working with someone who has most likely worked in that sort of industry for a long time.
Yes.
They're going to be an expert on it. And you'll quickly see how you interact with other people, like whether that's sort of in something that you're doing, where it's like business admin and you're sort of going through sort of like your emails and how you communicate. But equally with other industries, like there'll be so many different skills and I think like even just things like shorthand and like abbreviations and stuff like that. I know that if anyone's in any type of education, there are so many abbreviations.
So many.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's like speaking in code.
Yeah, it's like speaking in code. And like there's things like that that you'll probably seem quite intimidating, but you're with someone that has the knowledge, knows that, and you'll learn that as you go. So
you'll find plenty of that at Zenith as well. They have plenty of knowledge and they implement that on that so much when they're training us.
Yeah.
The people that I've been given in my department, I do feel lucky in a way because the people in my department are very helpful, so friendly, and just people that I get on with every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had to tell them anyway because they need cover for the phone. So while I'm doing the podcast, I need to let them know. Sorry, I'll be attending a podcast and about to change a bit of the covers here and there. But like, Enya was happy for me. Even my manager was like, "It'll be good on your CV." I was like, "Cheers."
Yeah, I know. It will be. It's a good experience. These are good fun. So you, I'm sure you got sort of like friends, and we sort of spoke before we went and started recording. I assume you've got friends. I'm assuming you've got friends. So obviously, how do you find sort of comparing yourself to people that have gone on to study at university or other people that have gone into full-time employment outside of apprenticeship? How does it compare to that? How do you find that, managing that?
Well, I mean, personally, I think that in terms of like education routes, this apprenticeship is the best way for a person to progress without putting much financial investment in, because this one relies more on your personal skills and what you've got to offer, and in a way which develops our experience, as opposed to something like university where you've got to wait a few years maybe for a qualification from school. You'll be studying hard, you'll be working hard, but in the end there's a chance that you will still struggle to find a job even after you've got a qualification. And nowadays employees very much value experience over qualifications. Because, and it makes sense as well, because you're going to spend a lot less time training that individual than you are with someone with, he might have flying grades, but he's still going to just take a little bit more time to adapt.
Yeah, I think it's interesting sort of hearing that, because I think I 100% agree with you that the grades that you get are they're important. It's important you get good grades.
Yeah.
But the skills that you get alongside that are sort of some of the things that really make you employable.
Yeah, and I think, kind of you offer as an individual.
Yeah. And I think that both in apprenticeship and going on to study like a degree are both really, really amazing ways of developing those skills. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right in saying that the apprenticeship route, obviously, you get paid, and which I'm sure is nice. I'm sure you enjoy that very much. but like, you also get you get those skills as you're going and develop it the way they wanted to.
Yeah.
And I think it's equally the same. When you're studying at university, you do get a set of skills that you can take into it. Yes, and you're right in saying that getting a qualification, no matter what way you're getting it, isn't always the.
It doesn't guarantee a job at the end.
And I think that just your attitude and the skills that you develop and that you possess are equally as important as whether you're getting a degree or doing an apprenticeship or anything like that. And I think you're bang on with that. So
that being said, however, the beauty of the apprenticeship is that you can always start up at this age, but as soon as you have finished that, you can always move on to university at a later date if you want to.
And like we were saying, like you said earlier, like you've got like 27-year-olds here who are in apprenticeship. So same way the other way around, if you do go to university and you sort of do your course and you think, oh, like actually I do want to go and sort of learn a new trade or move into a different industry, you can still do that.
Exactly.
Like.
Yeah.
How do you find, so obviously you have your 6 hours a week, which sort of will be a bit of a mentor or something like that. How do you find transitioning from sort of like 4 days a week almost sort of like doing your job and then going into the 6 hours of sort of coursework time or mentoring time? How does that adjust?
So the actual coursework time it's actually up to the individual and their manager. Usually they've come to an agreement. So for me, my manager gives me a whole day a week for 6 hours, to do coursework. And as soon as I've put them hours in, I'm just returning back to my department and completing my assigned work. To be honest, it really is just, it's actually the individual, however the individual feels, however that person wants to approach it, whether it's like a full day or perhaps two afternoons, it's entirely up to the individual. And as long as he can come to an agreement that works best for him and also the manager, then we just continue as is, pretty much.
Yeah, and I guess it's worth sort of knowing that there's lots of different types of apprenticeships and that'll work very differently across the board in sort of different industries. Some places will have a specific day where you'll go into, so I know some places like going to like a college to do their sort of like learning time, and there's lots of different variations on how you do that. And we sort of said earlier, that information will be provided to you once you do your research and you look at an apprenticeship. You'll find that out as to whether it's based within the company that you might do that time, or whether it's you're going to a college that supports with that. But there's lots of different ways, and you'll be sort of like fully aware of that when you're going into that. And as you say, like either way, you'll still have support and you'll still sort of gain that knowledge. And it's kind of just a reflective time and like an evidence-based time, isn't it, really? To show them what you've been doing.
It's to show what you've learned. A lot of it is what you've learned in the workplace that you can apply to real life, and vice versa. Actually, it's a lot of stuff that you've learned from your coursework that you can apply in your workplace, stuff like confidence, communication, new policies that you'd have to learn. It's little things like that, but they do work hand in hand very well, actually, because a lot of things that we do in our coursework becomes a lot more relevant in real life and in the workplace.
Thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about like your experience as an apprentice and just apprenticeships in general. I'm going to say this again, but we are definitely going to use this to wrap up every single person we talk to, aren't we, Leanne? Could you give us a top tip for someone else that is looking at becoming an apprentice or looking into apprenticeships?
Oh, certainly.
What's your top tip?
Oh, yeah. So my top tip for anyone that's interested in any sort of apprenticeship would to be to just take the opportunity while you still can. And don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't be afraid to fall, because as long as you just stick to this route and put in the work, put in the time and effort, you will go on to do far and go on to progress onto a lot of great things.
Yeah.
So that would be my number one tip, to take the opportunity.
Inspiring. Now.
Yeah. honestly, you've been amazing. Thank you so much for joining us on here. And
I've enjoyed you guys. Yeah. It's been so great.
We wish you luck with the rest of your
phenomenal. Honestly, it's been so great.
We'll have to come back. We'll do another episode next year.
If you have another one, please call me. I'll give you my number after this.
Oh, that's ace. Thank you.
Cool.
That is the end of another episode of the Go Higher West Yorkshire UniConnect podcast. That was fun, wasn't it, Leanne?
That was really inspiring.
It was good. How good was Danish? It was so good.
I love Danish.
Spanish. Danish Spanish.
It's so informative.
Yeah, honestly, so good. Thank you so much to Danish, and thank you so much to Nick for being our amazing guest this week. Thank you so much, Leanne, my lovely co-host as always, and thank you to Max behind the mics.
Yes.
As always, lovely job in recording our beautiful voices. Next episode, we'll be talking about student finance. Quite a big topic, but I'm sure we'll find a nice, fun, light way to deliver it, as we always do. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.